Podtacular 397, Halo Boo for Halloween 2013.
Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And tonight, we celebrate Halloween as it is October 31st for the year 2013. And with that comes along a Halo Bulletin instead of the normal Halo Bulletin. And with that, of course, we have a couple of Halloween-related things that have been kind of put into the bulletin as well as in matchmaking. So by the time you hear this podcast, you'll probably have passed up the opportunity, but there was a two-day playlist that was Smashing Pumpkins, and the reason for the pumpkins was for legal reasons for not being Smashing Pumpkins, which is could get them in legal trouble.
I doubt it.
Well, that's what they said in the bulletin. I have to say
I know. I'm just saying, does the band have just full reign over any time people mention Smashing Pumpkins? Because, I mean, that's what pumpkins do. Like, people smash pumpkins all the time during Halloween.
Yeah, I know. I don't quite get it either, but that's what they said in the bulletin.
Yeah.
So, that's just what we're going with. And yes, facepalm, thank you, in the chat. So we're going to talk about mostly the bulletin tonight. It's going to be a shorter show than some of our other shows have been, unless we get on some random tangent, which we often do. So you may never know what we end up talking about here. But first things first, let's just dive straight into it. Bravo is the one that writes it up this week, and they kind of go back to the Halo 4 championships a little bit. The global championships that were in Seattle during PAX Prime. And one of the things that he kind of wanted to bring to attention is some of the stuff that you get to see behind the scenes. And they had some concept arts and drawings that they had for the global championship stage and everything. So they had some mock-ups, and then they had kind of a 3D render of what it's going to look like. And it actually kind of their initial plans resembles pretty much what it looked like at the very end. Minus the a few little elements. I think the display stand on the left where we had Golden Boy and Bravo sitting was changed up just a tiny bit. But other than that, it's pretty much spot on from what we saw before. So you can see some of the concept design and the stage planning that went into the Global Championships, if that's your kind of thing. It's interesting to see kind of how their development came along with it, but I don't think it's going to catch too many people's eyes that are playing Halo. I think they're more into the technicalities of the game than kind of stage design. But it's still cool nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool stage. I guess if you're having an event for what you claim is the biggest kind of Halo championship, like if you win this, you are the best Halo player ever. It needs to be something special. So,
right.
Seems like they went all out on it.
Oh, they definitely did. I mean, that was one of the kind of highlights of the Global Championship was the production value that was there. And we almost had Mineroyal Hall filled up. And the atmosphere, we've said it on the podcast before, but it was one of the most tense feelings that you had for a competitive Halo game. And from all of the times I've been to MLG for Halo, this was kind of trumped all of those previous experiences. I mean, the closest thing I think you could get to was when Halo actually had a main stage at MLG, and it was pretty much the feature game. This pretty much kind of just threw that under the bus in terms of production quality, and you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. It was that tense, especially in that last one.
Was that thick? Did it smell bad?
No, it didn't smell bad, thankfully.
Well, you said you could cut the atmosphere with a knife, so
cut the tension with a knife.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you cut the atmosphere with a knife. I was like, yes, cut through the stench of a million gamers.
No, it was not that bad. They did have air conditioning, so that was
that's
nice.
That's good. It kind of reminds me of Video Armageddon from The Wizard, which was based on the Nintendo Global Championships that they had. I think it was... I can't remember what they called it. It was like the Nintendo... Oh, man, now it's just going to completely escape me, but it was this big event
Google
that they had during
friend.
The yes I should know this because supposedly I was a video game historian for a little while, or I thought I was, but just these major, like this massive event that Nintendo had back when video games were kind of in their infancy, you know, just these very kind of simplistic 8-bit graphics, but they still had this massive competition for it with this huge theatrical stage and everything going on, and it kind of reminds me of that. It's good times.
Cool. I was not kind of into the whole gaming scene, I think, pretty much. I mean, I had a Game Boy and stuff, but I wasn't really into it publicly, I guess, so to speak. So
it was Nintendo World Championships.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well, I mean.
Same thing.
Yeah. Close enough, though.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool to see. It kind of, because I used to do set up for church services and stuff, so it's kind of interesting to see the design and the flow from one concept to another. But I think for most people, when it comes to stuff like this, they probably wouldn't care too much. So for those that like to see this kind of thing, go check it out. It's kind of cool. If not, if you're not into the whole stage production and arrangement, then you could probably skip that part of the bulletin without missing anything.
If you don't want to watch the sausage get made, you can just kind of skip it.
Fair enough. If you want to play Halo Spartan Assault on the Xbox platform, you will be able to in December. 343 announced on Tuesday that Halo Spartan Assault is coming to Xbox One and Xbox 360 with a few exclusives. On the Xbox platform only, you're going to be able to play co-op mode. So all the missions that you currently have played on, A through F, including the DLC one, you'll be able to play co-op. And there will be the additional Operation Hydra DLC expansion pack that will be Xbox exclusive only. And then there's some expanded arsenal items, so more weapons, armor abilities, and upgrades that you'll be able to utilize on the Xbox version as well. No word whether or not the achievements are going to be the same or if it's going to be a new set of achievements that you'll be able to get, but that is kind of to be determined or to be seen as more and more details come out to the rollout in December. So, Britt, you're going to finally have a chance to play Halo Spartan Assault. What do you think about that?
Oh man, I'm excited. I am so ready for this. I love dual stick shooters. I always have. And it didn't make any sense not to bring this to Xbox. I mean, think of all the money they're going to make. They're going to make a ton more money once this thing hits on Xbox than they ever did back when they put it out on tablets. Guaranteed.
And I think that was kind of a huge argument that the rest of the community had. And you can see 343 is pretty much listening to us now. It's like, we want it on the Xbox. It's going to sell better on the Xbox, so they kind of listened and pulled through, and now we're going to see it out in the Xbox Live Marketplace in the arcade, and people, I think, are going to have a fun time playing it. Now, personally, when I played it, I did it with mouse and keyboard on the computer on a Windows 8 machine, and I tried using a tablet and a controller at PAX at the Halo 4 Global Championship. And personally, I think the keyboard and mouse experience is just a little bit better for me because you have that precision with the mouse. And what I found with the controller was that you had, unlike some traditional dual sticks that I've played like only one or two of, if you aim with the stick, you aim and shoot at the same time. But with Spartan Assault, you aim and you have to pull the trigger to shoot.
But and ammo conservation's a thing in Spartan Assault, right? Yeah, I was just asking. Like, I didn't know. I haven't played it. I've seen a little bit of gameplay. I just kind of figured, but it seems if ammo conservation is a big deal, then you definitely want to make it to where you didn't just waste ammo every time you moved your stick around.
Yeah, and it definitely is. And that's kind of one of the reasons why they have to change it. But I'm just kind of used to a few of the other ones that I've managed to play, where it's you point in the direction and then you're shooting. And it's just a little bit harder to line up the shots, I think, with a dual stick than it is with a mouse and keyboard, which is why I think I'll stick with that. But obviously, to get the extra stuff, I'll get it for the Xbox and the Xbox One. So.
Well, and the co-op will be fun, too. I mean, online co-op.
Yeah, that'll be nice. So, that stuff is supposedly exclusive to the Xbox, guys. I think they kind of mentioned that in their info page for Spartan Assault. I can see that maybe changing, but I think that's going to be those three things that we listed off are going to be Xbox exclusive, Xbox platform exclusive, so the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. And of course, they released some wallpapers in celebration that Halo Spartan Assault is coming to the Xbox platform.
I like that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Far Light one. No, I was just saying, out of the two wallpapers they gave off, that Far Light wallpaper is pretty cool.
Yeah,
the one where it's just kind of the surface of the planet with the kind of aurora borealis or whatever's going on up there. I have no idea what happens in the story. All I know is it involves Palmer. So I'm going to go into Spartan Assault completely fresh, having no idea what's happening.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, it's a good place to start, right?
That's good. Yeah, that's why I'm excited for it.
Yeah, so no big deal. But yeah, that Far Light screenshot is definitely going in my desktop rotation of screenshots. Palmer one, eh.
Yeah, eggheads.
I mean, it works, but for a desktop background, I like that kind of spacey stuff.
I still want a bobblehead Palmer. Still waiting on it.
They could totally pull one off.
I know.
I think a lot of people would buy it, too.
Oh, yeah. People love stuff like that. Just little tchotchkes that they can put on their desk from their favorite franchises.
Hmm. Jess, if you're listening, make it so.
That's a fun one. Tchotchke.
Moving on. This week, or at least the 2 days, the October 30th and October 31st, 343 put out a playlist called Smashing Pumpkins, which we mentioned earlier. And by the time you're listening to this podcast, the playlist has come and gone. But we had such fun with it during Wacky Wednesday that we may pull it out again for Wacky Wednesdays down the road, because it was pretty much just hectic and crazy. We didn't know for sure if the ball physics were changed, but it seemed like it kind of was because of how much the ball would fly. I mean, we would knock the ball so hard around Haven that it would actually go up and over the maps on the closed side, not the open sky side. And then there were other occasions where we actually hit the top and the furthest out part of the Haven skybox and the abandoned skybox. So I think the ball physics have been altered for this game type a bit.
I think every game type that is distinct from each other, like the difference between Ricochet and Oddball, you know, that's completely different game types, but they still use the same ball essentially. I think that they should all have different ball physics applied to them, you know, just to suit their certain game type. And you see that with Ricochet. I mean, the ball in Ricochet moves differently than it does in Oddball. Or at least it seems that way. I mean,
it definitely seems that it's a different kind of ball.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. And yeah, someone in the chat, XRJ Diazo, he said, I wonder if he's RJD. If you're RJD, let me know. So on some of the maps, the ball is a static spawn, so it spawns in the same spot every time. So some people just camp the same spawn point and just kind of pick up the ball whenever it gets smashed out of the court. So I think Simplex was one that we played a lot last night. And, you know, if you're on the edge of the bases, the ball can just fly out to the open, and then there's the ceiling that you can hit. So whenever you would get smashed, and if the person was in the air that you got or you were killing with the hammer, then the ball would just fly off and it would reset every time. So there were some parts of it that was kind of broken. They needed to have a little bit more dynamic ball respawns. But other than that, it was hectic. I think for some people, it wasn't quite as fun. I know a game dude probably didn't have or was starting to feel down after about 5 or 6 games. He's one of the regulars that we have who listens to the podcast and attends Wacky Wednesday, and he was trying so hard to get first, and he never won a game. He got second and third a lot of times, but he never won a game. So I kind of felt bad for him after he left. But there are certain things I think they could tweak with the game type and the map with the ball spawns and everything. But it's fun nonetheless. It's a 2-day playlist. It's just good kind of difference to have in the matchmaking options, and it was well filled out last night. I think last night I saw a big team was up to 4,500, Team Slayer was 2,600, 2,700, and then the Smashing Pumpkins when we started was about 2,400. So there were definitely quite a few people involved with that playlist. So yeah. You missed out on some fun, Brent.
Yeah, I missed it. But
you did get to watch it.
I've been thinking. like, this time next year, we might not even be playing Halo 4. We might be playing Halo 5 or Halo X-Bone or whatever they call it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the news that's come out lately, but there have been leaks that it's going to be Halo 5.
Well,
there's been, like, regular Xbox publications that have come out and put Halo 5 in there, and the only thing that's not keeping it from officially being Halo 5 is Microsoft not saying it's Halo 5 yet. That's the thing that's in its way.
I just don't understand. Why don't you just say Halo 5? I mean, I understand it's going to be Halo 5. There's no reason to call it Halo Xbox One or just Halo, or that would just be confusing for people. I mean, a lot of people would see it. They're like, is it the sequel to Halo 4? Is it some sort of prequel? I mean, what is it? They're going to go with Halo 5, but...
Yeah, I think they're waiting for more information to come out, but it's only logical to call it Halo 5 because it's a continuation of Master Chief's story. And it's been... I mean, if you look at Halo 3 ODST, I mean, they named that one a little bit differently. One, because it was still in the Halo 3 engine, and two, it wasn't the Chief. And then Halo Reach, well, I mean, you can kind of see that it was before Halo 1, so you can't really call it Halo 4, and there wasn't the Chief in there either. And then we saw the Chief come back and it was Halo 4, and then we're continuing Chief's story, so it's going to be Halo 5. So it kind of makes sense.
Metal Gear Solid 3 occurred before Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2. But it was Metal Gear Solid 3, so they could have named Reach Halo 4.
But I think they're keeping with the numbered games as Chief's story. And if
I'm
we
just
have,
saying... Go ahead.
Well, I think if we have a split-off... Like, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but if we have a split-off where Spartan Ops... kind of becomes its own game, its own storyline and entity, then we could have Halo some kind of title. And then we could just have the numbered Halos, the one that continues the Master Chief story. And I don't see a problem with having, like, Halo 5 and then a subtitle. Like, Halo 1 was called Halo Combat Evolved. Now, we haven't had any subtitled games since then, but I don't see a problem with coming up with a subtitle for Master Chief's story if there is that additional branch off of the game.
Can I issue a challenge to our listeners?
Sure.
Just for my sake. And you can send this to brent@podtacular.com. I think that still exists.
It does.
But try to figure out if you were going to give subtitles to each game in the Halo series after Halo 1, which was Halo Combat Evolved, what would you subtitle them? Like, for example, Halo 2, New Mombasa or something. Halo 3, Finish the Fight. You know, just think of the most creative subtitle you can and send it to me. And I might, you know, shout out.
That'd be interesting. Let's make that the let's return the question of the week and make that the question of the week. Shall we?
Because Metal Gear Solid did that. Metal Gear Solid had number 2, which was something or another. I can't remember anything about Metal Gear Solid except for Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. But those had numbers and okay. subtitles.
Huh. Well, that's something that we can definitely explore. So, yeah, let's throw that a challenge to the listeners for the question of the week. If you could give a subtitle to every Halo game, every mainline Halo game, what would it be? Yeah, I saw that
in the Twitch chat. Yep. RJ says Halo 4 Casual Friday.
I think
just another Friday, bro.
You could probably come up with a little more. I think story-related title than that.
If you've got funny titles, send them in too, because I love the funny stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't have to be serious.
Well, yeah. You could definitely go serious and definitely go just completely hilarious with this kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I like that idea. Let's do that for this coming week. That'll be good. I would love to see some of your guys' responses, because I think we'd kind of get a good variety. I think we would see some related answers. Some identical ones, but then we can see some really far-fetched ones. So let's do that. So get to work on that, guys. And
I figured out
we'll read it next week.
I figured out my subtitle for Halo Reach. It's going to have a second subtitle. It's Halo Reach: History Revised.
Ooh. Ooh. Dang. Or History Evolved.
That's more Orwellian. We took history and we made it better.
Yeah, that whole fiasco. So, well, we're just gonna move on from that. But yeah, send those in. and we'll talk about them on the next podcast. Next up in the bulletin, though, is, Halo 4's anniversary is coming up pretty soon. Actually, a week from the recording of this podcast, the first anniversary of Halo will be upon us, or Halo 4, that is. So, to reward everybody, if you play at least one more game on November 6th of 2013, you will be able to unlock the Guilty Spark emblem that you'll be able to use on your Spartan. So, it's a one-time opportunity that you're going to be able to snag this emblem. So, it's going to be just the 24 hours that it's open, and I think that 24 hours is marked from 12 a.m., so midnight on November 6th at Seattle time. So it's going to be 12 a.m. Pacific time, which turns out to be 3 a.m. Eastern time, which is 8 a.m. UK time. And you can use a online clock to figure that out, but it's midnight Pacific time is when that starts. So if you want a chance to get this rare item, then definitely check it out. I think I might change to it when I get it. I'm using the one with the star at the moment. I forget exactly what it's called.
Prime?
Yes, Prime, and I'm using the structure background. So that's kind of been the one I've had since the beginning, the one I've stuck to, and the Guilty Spark, I think, is a pretty nice touch.
Yeah. Everybody loves Guilty Spark.
Of course.
I went back in and looked at my Halo 3 screenshots on BNet, and I had an old screenshot from High Grounds where I went into Forge and floated around as Guilty Spark, kind of set up this computer station inside the base in High Grounds, the defensive base, and made it look like 343 was checking the internet or something. It was kind of a cool screenshot. I'll post that up in the Twitch chat so other people can tell me how mediocre it is. But I mean, looking back at that stuff, like, it's always good to look back at your past, see what you did in games, you know, right, that you haven't played in 6-7 years.
Right. And it's just kind of one of those things where it's an evolution of where the series is. And that's the first time we had the ability to use screenshots and films and custom Forge maps and all that stuff. So it was really just kind of the beginning of an era, so to speak, in digital content for Halo.
Yes. You could say that Halo evolved.
It did, and it evolves through every game, even though the evolution for Halo 4, not many people are very happy with.
Yeah, you could say that was a devolution. That wasn't funny.
Not really. It has a certain ring to it, but yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a joke. That was like a statement. That was an opinion.
Pretty much. But yeah, so it's a interesting emblem that you can grab for yourselves whenever you play. And remember, you have to play it on November 6th. That's the only time you'll be able to get it.
Yep.
So make sure you get to it. We'll be tweeting about it, of course, when November 6th comes around. So if you need a gentle reminder, then you can subscribe to our tweets if you want to. And then we'll announce it, of course, whenever that day comes. And it's next week, so it's the day of the podcast. So that's also not that hard to forget either, hopefully. So, next up in the bulletin is the Team Slayer update, and that is detailing some of the stuff that's going to be changing with Team Slayer. Of course, last week's bulletin mentioned a CSR reset, and they kind of go into a few more details into what that CSR program is going to be. So they've been, Bravo's been working with Josh Minke and Quinn DeHoya to kind of see where the community really needs to kind of push forward with the Team Slayer, since that's where a lot of the competitive stuff seems to be going down between that and Team Throwdown. So they're kind of developing a newer system based off the CSR that's going to help showcase some of the better players in the playlist. And that program is designed to be launched sometime next month. They don't have a set date yet, but as far as kind of timeline, is going to be coming up very soon. So Team Slayer is going to be moving from an individual-based CSR to a team-based CSR. So if you guys remember, there's this different mechanism for calculating CSR based on individual performance versus team performance. So the Team Slayer is going to be now based more on team performance. So it's going to encourage a lot more people to go into the Team Slayer plays in teams instead of individually. So you'll be able to hopefully judge how your team is if you go into the Team Slayer playlist as a team. That'd be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
So, of course, the CSR is going to be reset on that playlist. It's not going to be reset across the board. It's just going to be a set reset on that playlist. And that's kind of just as an overall administrative thing, and especially if they're coming out with a or switching over to a different CSR based off the team instead of individuals, they kind of need to reset it anyways. So that's just kind of a no-brainer. At least for me, it seems like a no-brainer. And then, of course, they mentioned on the last bullet for the Team Slayer update that there are going to be regular CSR resets. So you can always keep, make sure that your skills are kind of sharp by seeing the resets, seeing where you stack up against other people. You'll get matched up a little bit differently every time there's a CSR reset, but there's no details on how often that reset's going to be. There's going to be resets that occur at a certain predictable time frame or time period on the Team Slayer playlist. They are looking to evaluate some of the details behind the playlist, like the maps and the game types, and see what people are voting for. So they're going to kind of try to tailor the experience a lot more to what people want as well. And no words if they're going to be doing this on any other playlist. I think this is pretty much the one that they're focusing on for now. So you don't have to worry about any CSR resets, any reassignings of CSR calculations on any other playlist. This is just Team Slayer. So that is good for that. The next rotational playlist that we are getting is the multi-team playlist. So, of course, they're bringing back the whole community voting thing. They're calling it community choice. And for the one for last week, the community choice was for Ricochet. And there was the options between Quickochet, Legendary Ricochet, and Shotgun Ricochet, and Shotgun Ricochet won out, which I personally didn't find very fun.
People love shotguns.
Well,
true fact.
It was kind of just frustrating to play with Ricochet. I'm not sure. Some people that play Halo are a little weird, I guess. I would have personally gone with Legendary Slayer and Quickochet over Shotgun Ricochet any day. Because I was playing with people over the last week or so, and I hadn't played it yet, and a couple of people I was playing with definitely didn't like Shotgun Ricochet, and then we got into Shotgun Ricochet, and I understood why it wasn't that fun, because it was just kind of all close up, and with the shotguns, if someone starts running, you can't catch up to them very quickly, and they can score pretty easily, so it's a lot harder to stop the ball, and the only chance you can really do that is if you get up close to somebody, and it's not that easy to do that sometimes with how the shotguns, I mean, you still have the sprinting ability, but it's just a lot harder to defend goals with Shotgun Ricochet. A lot harder to play defense, a lot easier to play offense. This week, the multi-team game type choices that the community is going to have the option to vote is multi-team Regicide, Team King Snipers, so Team King of the Hill Snipers, and Rockin' Rails. So, I think for me, multi-team Regicide would be interesting. We haven't seen multi-team Regicide out there, I think, for that long. But I would like to get a chance to play because I actually haven't played multi-team Regicide yet. And Snipers, I don't care for too much. Rockin' Rails, I love rockets and I love railguns, so that would be an okay choice for me. Looks like, let's see, Pins Halo apparently does not like Rockin' Rails in the chat. Let us know what the rest of you guys think about some of the choices up there. Looks like RJD likes Rockin' Rails. So, I personally like it. I think it's fun. I like the high explosive ones. And the railgun is my favorite weapon in Halo. I want to say my successful hit rate with the railgun is probably somewhere around 75%. 70-75% hit rate. So, or accuracy, I guess, is the appropriate term for that. So I absolutely love the railgun. But I think if I had a choice, I would choose multi-team regicide. What about you, Brent? What's kind of your feelings for this choice for the multi-team playlist?
I don't know. It's like a choice between game types that I don't really care for. Regicide is probably the one I would choose to play if I had to play any of them. But I'm just not big on the idea of regicide to begin with, which is... I mean, when it was first conceived, regicide was made as a way for casual players to catch up to better players in a match. The idea being that if you're a good player, you're going to be the king more often. And if you're the king more often, then the other team can score more points on you because they can kill you. You're only getting 10 points per kill, you know, on non-kings and however many for kings.
And I think this is also... The multi-team is an 8-player lobby, right? So multi-team regicide would be 4 teams of 2.
Yeah.
So it's almost like team doubles with a slight twist.
Yeah. But I'd probably go with that. I'm not big on sniping. Like, sniping just...
Yeah, I'm
not
either.
I was decent at it in Halo 2, but after that I just didn't care anymore. And then for rock and rail, I enjoy using the railgun, but some maps just don't work for rock and rail. Just off the top of my head, like Abandon. I don't like that, or trying to think of other maps that don't work. It's pretty fun on Ragnarok, but rockets are kind of useless on Ragnarok.
Ragnarok's kind of hard because of just the range that you have.
Yeah.
I personally love it, though. I love using explosives, and I love using the railgun.
Yeah.
So personally, for me, it works. But yeah, those are the three choices, and you can definitely go vote for them if you so choose and kind of influence what you want to see in the playlist. And you can do that, of course, over in the Halo Waypoint forums. And there is a link in the bulletin for you to do so. Of course, being Halloween and everything, there is some pumpkin carvings that we are undoubtedly going to be able to see. And of course, that's kind of the replacing the screenshot of the week feature. And there's some pretty good ones. Waypoint's been tweeting out a lot of different designs that people have been tweeting to them and sending them. And there are some pretty stunning ones out there. Have you been watching their Twitter account at all, Brent?
A little bit. But yeah, there's definitely some great pumpkins out there getting carved. People have a lot of time on their hands, a lot of passion for the franchise. So
yeah. So it's.
I would enjoy pumpkin carving, except I'm just not any good at art or crafts. You know, I'd probably really kind of... Whatever I did, I would just make a mess. It wouldn't look good at all.
Yeah. So if you're on the stream right now, I'm actually have their Twitter page pulled up, and just going to look through some of these on top of the bulletin. Probably one of these will end up being our podcast art anyways. But
well, I mean, I was going to suggest another picture be the podcast art, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. But let's take a look at the screenshot gallery that's been replaced by some of the pumpkin carvings, or pumpkin carvings.
Pumpkins.
If you want to go that way. Some of them are actually just costumes for Halloween. But we have one pumpkin carving by Berserk on Xbox Live, who I'm actually a friend with on Live. And he drew the legendary shield that you get whenever you do the legendary difficulty. That's the elite skull with the shield and the two swords. So that one's pretty cool. Halo 4 logo, obviously. This one is probably my favorite. This is the Chief and Cortana, like that final scene when she has she's using the hard light, and when she's in her hard light form. So it's basically that scene, and that's kind of what I want to use for the podcaster, because that is so cool. And I think if there's, at least just from the ones I've seen, if there's any pumpkin to win the Guilter Lantern contest, that should be the one to win. Hands down.
Yeah, it's got some pretty great production value there. Real polished. Just looks nice.
I mean, it almost
looks like it took forever to make. Like,
yeah, but it is, oh my gosh. It is so good. And I'm almost tempted to make it a wallpaper, to be honest, because of I mean, imagine the time that it went in there, and it looks like it could actually be the scene with just an orange filter over it. The detail in it is that good. If you don't know, or if you haven't seen it yet, go to the Waypoint Bulletin and check it out, because it is by far one of the coolest pumpkin carvings I've seen that's Halo-themed. So, there's a few other ones. There's Mr. Chief, obviously, that's been carved. Someone actually did a mock-up of Mr. Chief as well, a little drawing. A couple of people with Spartan helmets on, Spartan costumes that they're doing for their Halo, their Halloween costumes and everything. A few other Mr. Chief ones. There's a one that's titled Cosplay. It's at the very bottom, and it looks like it's basically Master Chief, or actually, I don't think it's Master Chief. It's who has that helmet? Because it's Noble Team, because it has the Noble Team emblem on the armor. Who has that helmet? Shoot.
George?
Is that George? No. Shoot. I'm Googling it now. But yeah, so someone from Noble Team is, he dressed up in the, basically with a skull in his head. So, let's see. I have the image up. Actually, I don't know, because that helmet doesn't match anything. Unless that's supposed to be Noble 6.
Yeah, just...
But that helmet doesn't really match any helmet configuration that Noble Team has. It's supposed to be Noble Team, though, because there's a Noble Team emblem on the armor.
Well, and one of the most famous scenes from Halo Reach is the very end when you get that nice little...
I bet I know what it is. I bet it's a Photoshop screenshot from Halo Reach. I bet you that's what it is. Because if you look at the background... That looks like it could be from something like Ivory Tower or whatever. That
Reflection.
Yeah. Looks like it could be something from Reflection.
I don't know. I mean, it might be, but...
I don't know. It could be a really well-done Photoshop, but I'm not sure. Whatever it is... actually, there's a Twitter link. Let me click on the Twitter link and see where it goes. Doesn't say. Oh, actually is a real picture. It's...
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Someone's actually dressed up in the skull with a skull and a helmet. Okay, that's a little more creepy now.
Well, that's actually a pretty good idea for Halloween. I mean, it's one thing to just go in, you know, Mjolnir armor.
Well, it's either that or it's a standing prop thing. I can't tell, though. It's cool, nonetheless.
Yeah.
So, let's see. A few other ones. There's a Guilty Spark one. A couple more Halo 4 emblem ones. A couple of skulls. Like the difficulty skulls on there as well. There's one on here that they've carved text into. So, I think a lot of these are pretty good. Going over to the Twitter... Their Twitter stuff. They have the Master Chief Believe. They have the Ninja emblem. They have Cat's helmet. They have one of them has the Halo 4 Global Championship one, along with a Borderlands one. Believe it or not, a vault symbol. I'm a big fan of Borderlands, so yeah.
Everybody loves Borderlands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody, but
well.
People who enjoy video games enjoy Borderlands.
Yeah, Borderlands is fun.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few other ones that are just Halo 4 related. There's one in here. They actually did the Flood face. So that was the one that I think that was rated probably one of the more difficult ones when they posted the stencils in the bulletin 2 weeks ago. So that one is pretty beastly.
Yeah, go beast.
Actually
get it because it's a Flood
ha, beast. Ha. Funny. Very, very funny. So some of these are, of course, including the bulletin. Some are just ones that they've retweeted. There's a
Gosh. Oh, why was I not alerted to this? There's a UNSC cadet track jacket available at the Waypoint store.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced that yesterday.
I don't want to get to it. I want to get into it.
You're funny. There's one with a cryptum that someone posted, or Halo Waypoint retweeted. Another Halo 4 Global Championship one. Someone drew Mr. Chief on one of like the small pumpkins, and in the background they have one of the figures with a knife out about ready to stab it. So that's, I thought that was funny. That was kind of a one of those things that I saw. I was like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, so that's some of the stuff that they retweeted, and a lot of the stuff that they retweeted they did put in the bulletin, but there's a couple other ones. If you go to the Halo Waypoint Twitter, you'll be able to find as well. So pretty cool stuff. And that wraps up the bulletin for this week. Or the bulletin.
Boo.
So, lots of cool stuff over there. Of course, the announcement of Halo Spartan Assault coming to the Xbox platform. The Smashing Pumpkins playlist that was out for 2 days. The anniversary Guilty Spark emblem unlock that's coming. The Team Slayer update changes. The community choice for multi-team game types. And remember, that is multi-team regicide. Team King Snipers and Rock and Rails, and of course the Halloween gallery of carving pumpkins and all that goodness. So, Brent mentioned one of the other things that we wanted to talk about, and I guess if you want to kind of go ahead and lead in that discussion, Brent.
I just learned about it. It's some sort of track jacket, very shiny. It's got a nice sheen to it, kind of silver. Shades of gray style thing, you know, the darker shade of gray at the bottom, you know, coming up to a kind of metallic silver at the top.
Yeah.
It's got the UNSC logo, the classic kind of eagle logo slapped on the front left side, you know, kind of up near the top, near your shoulder. And then on the back, it's got this massive, just the UNSC text across the back with the prime star.
Yeah, it's like a company logo.
Oh yeah, it's cool. I like how large the UNSC logo on the back is. It's usually you only see UNSC on the Halo branded stuff in kind of small print, but this is massive.
Yeah.
People will think that you're talking about the United Nations Security Council, and you will say no.
It's a United it's Nations close. Space Command. If you look at it 500 years in the future, it could be. Yeah. But it's. I want it. I definitely want it. I'm not sure if I'm going to get it, but I definitely want it. But yeah, they announced this yesterday on Wednesday of this week. So I actually got the tech hoodie from PAX, which is, it's black and it has the UNSC, logo on the front. And it's really comfortable. So yeah, this is $68. I would definitely want it.
Just in time for the holidays.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, just in time for winter. That's the kicker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's well, I mean, the kicker. Yeah.
It's going to get cold out there, and you're going to need this.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
It would That's be a cool good excuse.
It would be really, really cool to have.
I also see that they... have a t-shirt that is basically just the Halo 4 Global Championship logo without the Halo 4 Global Championship kind of fanfare on it as far as the text and stuff like that.
They posted that a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. So that was one that they announced I think a month after the Halo 4 Global Championships. So if you didn't get a chance to go, you can still get a shirt that has the Halo 4 Global Championship logo with the helmet and the swords and shields in the back.
But it'll never be as cool as ours.
It's not as cool as the one with the text on it.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a finalist one, Brent, but there was an extra one that they different one that they had at PAX. So instead of combatant on the bottom, it says finalist. So, yeah, sorry.
It's making me mad.
Yeah.
It's getting angry here. Well, I still got a nice t-shirt for...
It's a ballin' t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
343, I don't know what company they use, but whatever shirt company they go with, they make some quality shirts.
It seems to me that if you're in the business of running a major franchise that extends beyond just one medium. You know, I mean, Halo isn't just a video game anymore. It's the books. It's the live action movies. It's the, you know, it's the comics. It's whatever you want it to be. And multimedia franchises like that tend to get pretty high quality merchandise. I mean, look at the Pokemon Company International. I was looking at a picture today of basically a little stuffed Pikachu doll or whatever from 1998. Back when they were first, you know, bringing Pokemon to America, and it was really starting to get big, and it just looked awful. Like, the quality on that Pikachu was awful, and it was, like, right up next to one that they had produced, like, last year. And that thing was, like, pristine, man. It actually looked like a Pikachu. So, I mean...
That's kind of cool.
When you run a video game franchise, and you want people to show off their colors to represent it, you want to make sure that you got some high-quality merch out there.
Yeah, and we didn't really see a big store with Bungie before. Granted, I think around Halo Reach they started to kind of invest with the clothing stuff, and they had some like Bungie branded stuff, but they didn't have many Halo branded stuff. I think a lot of that was done through third parties, like GameStop would have something, or like something like maybe American Apparel had some kind of shirt or something like that, but they never had their own store that was pretty much Halo stuff until late on in Halo 3, coming up to Halo Reach really. And Halo Waypoints just kind of off the bat has this store available. So there's lots of things that you can get through their store, like the toys and collectibles and all the books that you can get, some of the guides as well. So there's a lot of stuff in the Halo Waypoint store that you can grab onto. Speaking of some more stuff in the store, on Friday of last week, so this would have been after we recorded our Glasslands podcast, they announced the... October lineup of Avatar items, which is kind of themed for Halloween, and there's a couple of things up there. They have an energy sword, a hard light shield, a Julum Dama Avatar outfit, a Gek Avatar outfit, and believe it or not, a Mr. Chief Avatar outfit that you can wear. So If you want to dress up as the infamous Mr. Chief, illustriously created by none other than Frankie, then you could wear that for, I guess, next year's Halloween, since by the time you're listening to this, it'll be pretty much past Halloween. So, yeah, some interesting stuff that they've been making up, and they have this monthly release of Avatar items, if you guys didn't know. But yeah, this week, so they have some pretty cool stuff. They have the Gek, they have the Julum Dama, the Energy Sword, Harlight Shield, and Mr. Chief. So, cool stuff as always. That pretty much wraps up for a lot of the Waypoint related news that we have this week. We touched on this a little bit before with the whole blow up of AGL and everything, but as far as competitive Halo goes, guys, it's kind of an unsure future for now. For those that have kind of missed what happened, basically AGL was supposed to be using a certain venue, and by the time it came down to it, so like a week before the event was actually supposed to happen, AGL had to cancel because the venue wasn't going to be ready in time. And they tried looking for ballrooms at different hotels and places, and they just couldn't find somewhere to do it, so they had to cancel. And a lot of people got really frustrated over the whole ordeal that they couldn't find another venue, and that people were already had plane tickets to go and hotels reserved, and some plane tickets you can't really get a reimbursement for without having to pay or give up a lot of the money just to get part of it back. So a lot of these people were kind of really pissed off, and rightfully so. So the future of Halo is kind of a little grim now, because another thing that AGL did, which we talked about before, was adding Halo 3 to the circuit, and that generated a lot of interest for people to actually go to AGL 10. Of course, when it fell through, that kind of fell under as well, but for those that follow the competitive scene very closely for Halo, you'll know of Gandhi. And he's actually looking to put on a Halo 3 tournament. hasn't said anything like official yet. He just said that he wants to put on a Halo 3 tournament, and this would be something that would kind of be largely attributed to community support, and just really, this is a real testament. If the community could pull this off, if people could come together and actually still believe in Halo, whether it's Halo 3 or Halo 4, anything, pretty much, there's always room for Halo somewhere, and it's up to the community to really make sure that it shines. Another thing that, and talking with a couple people, other people too, is Halo has to kind of go back to being fun other than being strictly for making money.
I don't see why the two have to be separated.
Well, and
I mean, generally, things that are fun make money. Now, there are things that are fun that don't make a lot of money, but things that do make a lot of money tend to be fun.
Right, but the emphasis needs to be more focused on playing a game that's fun other than playing a game to make money. And it's just from the standpoint of the competitive players, because we've seen a lot of people go from Halo to Call of Duty because payouts bigger, and they did that because MLG was still holding on to Call of Duty instead of Halo. So we've seen some Halo teams kind of dual hat Call of Duty and Halo. And if you really want to have Halo as a premier option for an esport, then you have to make it to where the teams that participate in Halo want to participate in Halo, in pretty much Halo exclusively.
That yeah, not for the love of the game.
Yeah, for the love of the game. And the fact that when they play Halo, it's fun. And not to jump back and forth between Halo and Call of Duty because one has more payout than the other. I haven't specifically talked to any Halo pro about Call of Duty if they go play Call of Duty because it's fun, but I don't know what the answer would be. But if the answer is because the money is there, then that indicates a serious problem with Halo, that Halo isn't fun anymore. And
it's fun for me. I enjoy Halo. It's fun for a lot of people. Or
so it's,
people,
it's fun for a few people in the grand scheme of things. If you look at how it compares to Halo 3 and some of the past numbers with Halo, but look at the numbers now. When Halo 3 was even just announced to be one of the games released in October, like at the beginning of October, numbers for Halo 3 skyrocketed.
Yeah.
It quickly outnumbered Halo 4. That's how many people don't like Halo 4. They would rather go back and play Halo 3, which is a 7-year-old game. No, 6-year-old game, sorry. And that just goes to show, for a lot of people that I would consider probably core Halo players enjoy the experience that Halo 3 gave. That I think, in most people's opinion, is the more true Halo experience. So, of course, we saw this big flux back to Halo 3, and we still have a good amount playing Halo 4, but we saw it drop down in the top playlist from the Major Nelson numbers down to 13th. At one point, before Halo 3 even picked up over the, I think before they even calculated Halo 3 being back in the live activity list. But
343 has fun.
It was for the first time that Halo didn't have a top 10 spot.
They have to find some way to extend the life of their game once they put it out. They have to make conscious design decisions that will make the game fun over an extended period of time, you know, even when it's under competition from new games being released. And it will be. I mean, Halo 5 will be released alongside other high-profile titles. And they have to find a way to keep people playing Halo 5 while at the same time not, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater and just completely ruining what it means to be a Halo game, you know, they have to make sure that they have the fundamentals of Halo down in Halo 5. Right. And I think a lot of people saw in Halo 4 that it had become something so completely different from what they played in Halo 2 and Halo 3 that it was just too much. It wasn't Halo for them anymore. Now, for me, I will play... even if Halo 4 were just the worst game on the planet, I would probably still play it just a little bit because I love Halo. I love the universe. I love the community. I mainly love the community. That's true. I mean, this is my favorite gaming community.
And mine too. And that's, it's a testament, I think, to Halo as a universe and a franchise that the potential is there.
Yeah. The passion's there. You have to give us something to work with. If you're going to have the passionate fans representing your franchise, you need to give us something to go to people and say, hey, look, Halo's back. You know, it's fun again. You're going to enjoy it. Come back and play with us.
Well, if you look at a lot of the people that, at least that I see as some of the big movers and shakers, they haven't liked Halo 4 as much as some of the past Halo experiences. And we've seen people like Gandhi and Ghost Ayame, and I mean, before the whole mess up, like the guys at AGL really tried to support Halo 4 as much as possible and get people to play in it. But a lot of the people that kind of participated in that kind of thing just didn't feel the essentially the fun factor for Halo, and the attention that Halo 4 got kind of died before AGLers started getting engaged in their tournaments, and the better and better their production got, the more and more teams started to get involved until the Halo 4 Global Championships got around. Everyone rushed into that, and then it kind of, the turnout numbers for teams registering in AGL kind of dropped. And that's not anything against AGL that happened. It's just the happenstance of you had the Halo 4 Global Championships, which was this $200,000 FFA tournament. And of course, AGL can't really compare up to that. So, at least not right now. So there's certain things with how just people's mentality about the game and how the community is really supporting competitive Halo and other different facets of Halo, where it's really not where people want it to be as a franchise. And that's where 343 has to really dig into what Halo is to people. And they have to figure out where the majority lies on a lot of the stuff that makes Halo Halo. So as far as community support, it's going to be one of the big things that's going to help pull Halo through it. I mean, 343 can only do so much, and we definitely have to keep on giving them feedback, criticizing the stuff that they've done, not in a way that's demeaning or anything, not demanding that certain things be done, because ultimately it's their game. We are paying for a product that they produce. We are not paying for a service. A service would be is where we're paying directly, investing directly into the game, like during production, and influencing how the game is made. That's not the kind of service that we get with video games. We buy the game when it comes out, when it's finished according to the developer, and we support the game through buying the game. It's not a service. It's a product that you buy. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people think it's a service where the developers owe them to listen to their specific demands. And that's not the case. Now, they need to listen to the majority of the community and really nail down what the community's wants and needs are. And there's definitely a lot of things, too, where 343 needs to go back and see what magical formula Bungie had with Halo, kind of recapture that with Halo 5, and then add their twists to it. And there's lots of things they can do with that. They can look at some of the past engines. They can look at communities. They can ask community members, what is it that you like from past games that you didn't like in Halo 4? Have a beta. Those kind of things. So I think their potential is there. Another thing that people probably would agree with is don't rush production. I mean, it seemed like Halo 4 was rushed, because a lot of people said that when Halo 4 came out, I mean, we had this discussion plenty of times before, but a lot of people viewed it as the Halo 4 beta, and then when the first big title update came out, they viewed that as Halo 4 as it was meant to be. Now, technically speaking, when Halo 4 dropped, it was Halo 4. It's not a beta at that point. I will argue that it's not a beta because it's simply not a beta. But that's how people felt that the game was, that they felt it was an undelivered project. And that's something that they need to make sure that they don't do for the next Halo game. And honestly, the fact that they're coming out with Halo 5 2 years after Halo 4 instead of 3 years has some people worried. And it's also another question to whether or not 343 was focusing too much on Halo 5 at the time over Halo 4, and that's why Halo 4 was sucky, or whether they saw some issues with Halo 4 and they're like, we're going to wrap this up as it is and we'll deal with the issues down the road and start working on Halo 5. But there are some managerial issues that people have with how 343 has run some stuff in creating their games that need to be, I think, addressed, or at least needs to be considered by 343. Now, to the fact that they do that, that's up to them. I mean, they're the company. They can figure it out. They are smart. They listen to the community. We've had plenty of examples where 343 has listened to the community and really tried to bring out what the community wants. Now, I've seen on Twitter in a few places where people are like, 343 is not listening at all. They haven't done this, 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 this. Well, if you look at it, they cannot do everything that people want. There are certain things when you're delivering a service and delivering support where you have to evaluate what things you want to do and you can do in a certain amount of time versus things that maybe need to get done in a certain amount of time. So there are things that of want. So I'll take an example with, let's say campaign theater. There's people that have been able to get into some of the theater stuff within the campaign, but it's something that they're probably not going to likely do because A, who knows what kind of bugs are there? Maybe the theater mode has potential to crash Halo because of misallocated resources or because of somehow maybe some of the geometry is drawn when the camera's facing certain geometry a certain way, or maybe it'll look bad. So there are multiple factors for some of the stuff that they may not be able to do things. One of the things I would like to see is race. And we've seen game types be created for race. And as much as we've seen race out there, and it seems pretty stable, there may be little quirks with the race game type that they don't feel confident about releasing it because of certain risks that it has to the game's behavior. There's a lot of things that we don't know about Halo. And the modding community is good for that kind of things, to just see where some of the potential for the game is. And it's up to 343 to act on that potential. And if they want to act on that potential, then they'll do it to the best of their abilities. And if they don't, then it's not something that we should be crying over. It's something that we can voice our opinions about, but it's not something that we can go to 343 and just constantly bang on their doors and like, you need to do this, you need to do this. That if you do that, 343 is going to kind of turn a blind eye to you, essentially. If we demand things, it's not going to end well. If we request things, which is it's different. If there are certain things that we want to see, and we present it to 343, like, I mean, they're hearing the cries of the community for sure. I mean, we've seen Halo Spartan Assault be produced for the Xbox platform, so they're listening. But you got to do it in a way that is going to be kind of critical and critiquing of what they're doing, and not like demeaning and putting down of stuff that they've done wrong.
Well, you also need to explain like why 343 needs to implement the change that you demand that they make. It's not enough to simply demand something. You have to explain why you're demanding it.
Right. You have to have some supporting evidence behind what you're
requesting. Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, it's not even supporting evidence. I mean, you just have to think out your opinion. It's not enough to just yell, you know, Halo 5 better not have Kinect support. They better not waste any resources on Kinect stuff. I mean, that's my opinion. I don't think that they should waste time doing the Kinect stuff that I know Microsoft's going to want them to kind of push into Halo 5 because of... I mean, that's just the big deal with the Xbox One. You can't get an Xbox One without Kinect. It comes with the Kinect. You have to have it plugged in to the Xbox One to even work.
No, you don't.
But they changed that?
Yep. They changed that policy.
Oh, cool.
You do not have to have it plugged in.
That's a good idea.
You'll have to have it plugged in at startup, like whenever you first launch the console, but after that you can put it away.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Microsoft is actually listening to some of the complaints about Xbone and making some changes there before release. But whenever you go to ask for a developer to change something, the best way to go about it is to think out your opinions, think out your ideas, and then write an article about it. You know, and regardless of whether or not that article makes them change, you know, you're going to have people reading it. You're going to have people talking about it. And then if you're lucky enough, people are going to talk about it to where 343 notices that this is something people care about and they're going to make a change. But just yelling at 343 and you know, kind of just demanding stuff from them when you were in no position to be demanding stuff. I mean, you could you could vote with your wallet, but the chances are, even if you boycott Halo 5, there's going to be too many people buying it that it won't matter. Halo 5 will make money, just like Halo 4 made money, just like every Halo game before it makes money. I mean, the thing about a franchise this big is the only people that critique it at a high level of video game critique, people that think about Halo on a very fundamental level as far as the gameplay mechanics and stuff like that, we're a very small portion of the people that play Halo
or play video games. We're probably like 10%.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If that.
Most people that play Halo, they don't keep up with the Halo news. They don't keep up with stuff that 343 is doing. They don't keep up with, you know, the books and the side stories and stuff like that. Most of them probably don't even play Halo multiplayer enough to understand how to play that at a high level and kind of the high competitive level. But if you're going to ask for a change, you got to get the community behind you to say, yes, this is something we want changed. We want our video game this way, and if you don't provide it, well, we're going to be disappointed. The thing about video gamers are, you can tell us anything. You can tell us that the Xbox One will actually, you know, inject you with a needle for no good reason every time you turn it on, just to make you mad. And people would still buy the Xbox One and play it. They would complain about being poked by a needle every time they turn it on, but they would still buy it, and they would still play it all the time. The thing is, every time we get mad about something, we never actually go through with boycotts and stuff like that. And the thing is, even if we do boycott an item, there's not enough of us to matter in the big scheme of things. So the only leverage you have against the developer as a dedicated fan is basically making them worry that the prestige of the franchise is at risk. Because the fan base, the dedicated fan base, that's where the prestige is. That's where people understand why your game is good and why it should still exist. And I don't know. Now I'm just getting off onto crazy tangents. But
well, it's stuff that we're going to be talking about for a while until Halo 5 comes out, pretty much. It's going to be one of those topics that's going to keep on creeping back up. And it's one of the things that the community is going to be very passionate and have very opinionated things to think about. And it's going to be up to certain communities and individuals to really help bring Halo along, to keep on talking to 343 and at least voicing their opinions out in the public so 343 can get a good feel of what people want.
It brings up a good point, though, is as a dedicated fan, is it worth it to critique a game studio at all, though? I mean, when I go to critique a game, it's not because I think that they're going to change it. It's because it's just fun for me to critique things. It's just fun for me to look at something and find out why I like it or dislike it. But when I critique Halo, I have no illusions that they're going to listen to me and then change it. You know, I don't. But I see so many people out there that are dedicated, and they think because they're dedicated that developers are going to listen to them on these things, and they don't. I mean, people have been asking Pokemon Company for a mainline Pokemon game on, you know, the big consoles, you know, like Wii U or something for decade. I mean, a decade and a half now. We've been wanting that. We want a real Pokemon experience on a high definition console. We're never going to get it. The developers already said that the reason that Pokemon will always stay on handhelds is because that's the social nature of Pokemon, and they don't want to lose that, which makes no sense in, you know, the age of online play or whatever. But
well, I can see that with Pokemon a little bit. That's just kind of how Pokemon has evolved, because I've always played Pokemon on the handheld. I've rarely played it on the console. Like, I've had a friend that had the Pokemon Stadium for the Nintendo 64 and the Stadium 2 or 3 for the GameCube, and it was one of those things where it didn't really, or at least when I played it, you didn't do much with it. It was the handhelds that was the Pokemon kind of vibe.
That was the problem, though. The problem wasn't Pokemon Stadium being, you know, a real mainline Pokemon game. The problem was that it wasn't. The problem was that you couldn't go around and there was no world to explore in Pokemon Stadium. You couldn't catch Pokemon. The only thing you could do was battle, which is a big part of Pokemon. That's the main gameplay mechanic, but there's so much other stuff to Pokemon, the mainline games, you know, exploring the world, catching the Pokemon, raising the Pokemon, you know, just all this other stuff. And Pokemon Stadium kept that out. That was different. But this isn't a Pokemon show. We gotta get back on Halo before we completely derail it.
before we lose everybody.
Yeah. I think 343 would do good to put out a beta and show people that Halo 5 is the game that they want it to be.
Yeah, and it doesn't have... I mean, it would be nice if it was a public beta. It'd be nice if they could really get a load balance number. Because one of the things that a lot of games have issues with is that initial day rush. And if they can get some kind of anticipation of what that's going to be, it would be helpful on launch, for sure. But if they don't even do a public beta, have something like what they did with ODST, where if you get that game, you could play the... Well, you could play the Reach beta for ODST. I'm not sure what game they would do that with. They did what? Shadowrun for the Halo 3 beta, right?
Yeah.
So maybe do something like that, and you have people that they'll want to play the beta, so they'll go out and buy the game, and you can get a good basis that way. And if not, have a private beta, but that is publicly recognized and that people playing the beta can post stuff about. And that way other people can come and critique what they see. It doesn't have to be something where maybe everyone has to have access to, but if the public is aware of it, they're more likely to get feedback and they're more likely to be happy with the in-game content of how it's going to be produced. It's as simple as that.
Well, also, I think if you put out a beta, you're basically giving people a warning. You're like, if you don't like this game, don't buy it. But, I mean, if you buy the game after you played the beta and you didn't like the beta, I mean, if you didn't... You can't complain after you buy a game for a beta you didn't enjoy and you didn't like the game after you bought it.
Look at Armor Lock for Halo Reach. I mean, a lot of people were okay with it during the beta, but everyone hated it after the beta.
Yeah, but why were they okay with it during the beta? I mean, was it just because it was new and novel and they didn't understand exactly how much it would go towards, you know, kind of ruining the game in its own special way?
I think they changed the duration.
People were complaining about Armor Lock before the beta ever came out. I mean, the people were complaining about beta or Armor Lock since we knew about it. You know, when they showed it off.
It wasn't as big of an issue, though. And then it just kind of blew up after the game came out. I didn't hear too much about it. I mean, I knew there were people talking about it, but I didn't hear that much about Armor Lock being an issue.
Well, I mean, the concept is flawed. I mean, Halo is a game that's supposed to be very fluid and constant, and you have this ability that essentially just shuts down whatever's happening in that area. You know, it doesn't matter how much you shot that dude in the face. It doesn't matter about the grenades or whatever. You know, as long as he's alive, as long as he has enough health left to hit Armor Lock, you know, everything you did doesn't matter. The game's going to pause for the next, you know, 5 or 6 seconds, and you just got to stand there while... I mean, people learn that you don't just stand there. You keep going or... You know, you get out of the way, because if you just stand there, eventually his buddy's going to show up and kill you. But people could have just noticed, if you thought about Armor Lock hard enough and thought, how would this change the game? Even before the beta came out and people could play with it, you could probably foresee the problems that people had with Armor Lock.
Probably, yeah. But, I mean, the simple thing of it is, the beta will definitely help kind of clear some things up. And I think... A lot of people will be more accepting of a game if they actually had the chance to participate in the beta and kind of influence the game to begin with.
People love betas.
That's just my
opinion. Good way to sell games, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, Crackdown, people... I mean, that game wouldn't have sold at all, I don't think, if it wasn't attached to Halo 3. It was a fun game, but people bought it to get into the beta.
Yeah,
that's what I did. So
Let's go to the submissions.
Yeah,
we've talked about this long enough, I think. But
beating a dead horse.
We have some submissions from 2 weeks ago that we didn't get around to because we got into a long conversation like this one. But we want to kind of go through and read some of the ones that we did not get a chance to read. We do have a couple more submissions that hit our inbox, but we're going to save those for next week's podcast. So if you submitted one and we're not reading it tonight, then don't worry. It's not lost. We still have it. We'll be reading it soon, though. So the first one comes from Ivan, and he writes, "Hey, Podtacular, recently you guys mentioned that if the Halo community wants to insist on change in different areas of incoming Halo games, we should make our opinions and ideas heard. So I'm going to step into this awesome pair of shoes, even if they are too big, and make some small voice heard in this big community. I only want to cover one topic because it is so dear to me. I always loved Firefight because of the game, different modes, and awesome maps. Reach's Firefight was very fun and customizable. When Halo 4 did not include Firefight, my experience in the game wasn't as full as it was in Halo Reach. Spartan Ops was fun, in my opinion, but extremely linear. But this is the thing. 343 had a lot of great ideas in Spartan Ops that would make a new Firefight amazing. Something that Firefight didn't have was a very interactive experience. Imagine having to do a generator defense with waves of flood pouring in over and over. This would create an awesome experience for almost everyone. I mean, you don't like going on huge killing sprees, as you know you could be eaten alive in any second. You guys mentioned 343i needs to innovate, and I think one of the best places to start is right here, because we all have seen how they can make cooperative experiences fun, but they can be made even better right here in Firefight. Thanks, Podtacular, for the awesome podcast." So I think the Firefight discussion has been talked about on the show a couple of times, and how Spartan Ops was kind of the Firefight replacement, but I think I've started hearing a little bit more chatter on it recently, where Firefight would kind of be a good thing to kind of bring back in, just the wave after wave thing, like the Horde mode, because it's definitely popular in Gears, or it was, and then Call of Duty was popular, and it worked for people in Halo ODST and Halo Reach whenever you weren't lagging from network issues. But I'll admit, it was fun. Playing wave after wave with your buddies was a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I enjoyed Gruntpocalypse. That was the only part of Firefight that I really, really enjoyed. I mean, I did like Firefight. It was fun. But I think they were too afraid to put Firefight into Halo 4 because they were already being accused of being a Call of Duty clone at the time. And zombies is extremely popular in Call of Duty. And even though, you know, the zombies wasn't the first Horde mode in video games, it was definitely the most popular at the time, and they didn't want people saying, "Well, I mean, obviously Halo 4 has just tried to rip off Call of Duty. Call of Duty is the superior title."
Well, didn't Gears have Horde mode before Call of Duty?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that. And I'm sure that there was probably some other game somewhere that had some sort of Horde mode style thing even before that.
Well, but if you look at it, it's not exactly wrong to take certain ideas that other people have kind of come up with and develop them in your own way. I mean, the genre of first-person shooter is going to evolve in different aspects from all of these different developers. And if one developer nails something, then of course the other developers are going to kind of hop on the bandwagon. I mean, if you look at it, Halo's innovated in certain areas, Gears has innovated in certain areas, Battlefield has innovated in certain areas, Call of Duty has done the same. So there's all these different developers that really add to the genre of first-person shooter and really kind of push the experience. And of course you're going to have some sharing across. Now, the big thing between Call of Duty and Halo is those were the two big franchises for the most recent history. Battlefield is starting to become into that scene now. Battlefield is starting to be that third competitor now in the big first-person shooter genre list. But I think the big argument to not codifying Halo is because there's a certain playstyle that Halo fits into, and Halo Reach and Halo 4 definitely has started to adopt a lot of those Call of Duty specific things that Halo players don't want to associate with. And I think for 343 and Microsoft, they kind of did that to attract a wider customer base, but in the long term, in the long run, it's not going to keep your core Halo fan base. And I think that's one of the things why Halo 4's population has slipped up so much, is because some of the those game mechanics have been brought into Halo, that it does, certain things do feel like Call of Duty and not like Halo. And there's other facets of the game too that people don't like, but as far as we're concerned with the Call of Duty stuff, there are lots of things that people don't like that they see it very Call of Duty like and they don't like. So
I would like to see Halo get slowed down a little bit. I think if you keep speeding it up, it's definitely going to be, you know, more codified or considered to be codified. I mean, to me, one of the big things that separated Halo from Call of Duty was that Halo occurs a little bit slower. You know, it's the pace is slower just in general than Call of Duty, because anytime you can shoot somebody and get an instant kill with basically any weapon, it's going to be a fast game.
Well, whereas, and to I that mean, point, it, though, the little bit slower involves more strategy. And if you look at some of the past Halo games before Halo 4 and before Halo Reach, there's a lot more strategy involved with the multiplayer than there is now. It's a little bit more fast-paced. You don't have as much time to think about it. And the strategy, you have to think of more ways to kind of outclass somebody. And I think that introduces a little bit more steeper learning curve. And they've tried to kind of null that out to where it's a more fun experience across the board for anyone that picks it up and plays. But it's kind of that steeper learning curve once you get up towards the really good players that I think kind of helps define the Halo experience.
The learning curve really isn't there, though. I mean, there are a lot of games with a learning curve. But I mean, if you can point a reticule at somebody and pull the trigger on your controller, you can play any Halo game in the entire series. That's all it takes. But I mean, as far as strategy and things, that's something that nobody, you know, really goes into any game and automatically knows the best strategy. The strategy is something you have to develop over time, and that's why it's just more satisfying. I mean, Halo 4 happened so quick that you never feel like you executed an extremely satisfying, you know, strategy.
Well, and if it you always think seems about, like if you think about you Ordnance just, too. That takes away so much strategy because you don't have the weapons on the map anymore or timing certain weapon spawns. And of course, AGL has gone through and made their own game types and stuff, but when you throw that as kind of like the de facto game type, at least when it was when Halo 4 launched, then you have all these people that are like, Halo 4 is not a balanced system anymore. It's broken in terms of what a Halo game was. Now, it's very much COD-like in that you have the care packages and you have the kill streaks that you can use to help bump your kill score, but that's completely against the mantra of Halo. That's not what people are used to in the Halo game.
If they put kill streaks into Halo, it's over. Just game over for the entire franchise. If I ever get an advantage for being better at somebody as Halo than they are, it's over.
Get better at Halo because you have better strategy.
No, that's what I'm saying. If I'm a better player, if I'm a better player, then that should be
not based off the equipment that you have, based off of your strategy.
It's kind of a stupid idea, and that's why they introduced the death rewards or whatever, the death perks into Call of Duty, because it's a crazy concept. You're giving people who are already whipping somebody's in a game type and giving them, you know, even more tools to whip with. It makes no sense.
Right.
You know, I mean, when I win a match of Halo, I generally feel like I earned it. Like, there were no specific advantages in my favor at all. You know, I just won based on my skill. I was more skillful than the other guy.
Right.
You know, I generally win a Halo match with a clean conscience.
Yeah, and Call of Duty can be so random.
I want to feel like in a Halo match, I'm planning and executing those plans more often than I'm simply just reacting to whatever's happening around me. In Halo 4, it's so fast, you're just always reacting. There's always something new to react to. The random spawns, you know, that's reaction. When you know where weapons spawn, you can plan and execute a plan. When you don't know what's going to spawn or what's going to pop up or whatever, you just react to it. And I don't enjoy that. I enjoy planning stuff out. I mean, right. You look back at Halo 2, you could come up with some crazy plans, and you could execute those plans, and it would feel great. Especially in objective game types. That's why I loved objective so much, because that gives you even more chance to plan.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those facets of Halo that I think people see as kind of it left Halo 4. And we've seen some elements and resemblance of it come back. But at that point, so many people were already turned off by the game where we already lost a big core part of the fan base. And it's honestly going to really be up to what Halo 5 is going to be able to pull out of its hat, pretty much.
I'll say this. If you said you were a hardcore Halo fan, I understand if you were disappointed by Halo 4. I totally get that. That's fine. If you never want to play Halo 4 again, that's great. To say that you are completely done with the franchise just because of one game, you know, by a relatively new developer. They all came from, you know, certain development styles. I mean, it's not like this is their first rodeo individually as team members, but as together as a team, this is their first time around 343. And I'm not saying give them a slip on Halo 4. I mean, they obviously did things with Halo 4 that they shouldn't have done, and they lost fans because of it. But if you leave the Halo franchise just because of this game, this one example of a subpar Halo title, you probably weren't that big of a Halo fan to begin with.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm saying just completely give up. If you don't even want to
give
Halo 5 a chance. I mean, if you went and you threw away all your books and or you sold all of your Halo games, you know, because you're just completely angry at the state of the franchise, you probably didn't like Halo that much. Because the universe is still there. I mean, they really didn't mess up the universe that bad. I mean,
they messed up the universe in terms of multiplayer and how people view the multiplayer. I mean, yeah, you still have the universe in terms of the fiction, but the multiplayer, a lot of people, maybe half. I could see it being a half split between campaign and storyline versus multiplayer, but the majority of people that play Halo on a consistent basis, like after the first month or so, they're playing multiplayer. I mean, how often are you going back and playing the campaign for Halo 4 or any of the Halo games? Not often.
But I'm just saying if you just swore off Halo forever because of Halo 4, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you just swear off a Halo 4. A lot of people did that. I completely understand that. If it's a bad game, you shouldn't play it. But I'm saying there's other Halo games out there you can play. I mean, the resurgence of Halo 3 on the charts because it was free. I mean, that's another opportunity to play Halo without playing Halo 4. There's still a way to be engaged in the Halo community without necessarily playing Halo 4.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to believe that the Halo universe is more than just the games, if you enjoy the parts of Halo that extend beyond the games, then there are other things that you can do if you don't like Halo 4. I mean, you don't have to swear off the franchise forever. I think a lot of people are just like, I'm done with Halo. Like, it's over. And that's fine. I don't want to say that they weren't Halo fans. I'm just saying it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to swear off this great franchise just because of one game. You know, if they keep on messing up, you know, if Halo 5's awful, yeah, maybe then you call it quits. You just, you know, remember the good old times and Halo's 1 through Reach and, you know, laugh it up remembering that. But for now, this was just one game. That's it. I mean, it's just one game. And in my opinion, it's not an awful game. I mean, it's a fun game. I've enjoyed Halo 4. I've played stinkers of video games before. Halo 4 is a good game compared to some other games out there. People compare Halo rightfully to the past Halo games, and it doesn't stand up, obviously. But
obviously, yeah.
I'm just saying, I'll retract it. That was wrong. If you swore off of Halo, there's a chance that you were a super hardcore Halo fan, and you were just so mad at this one that it just broke your spirit. Don't swear off of Halo, the entire franchise, just because of this one game. You know, give it a chance. We're entering a new generation of consoles. You know, it's a brand new area here. We're entering the new frontier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just going to be a matter of there is a certain amount of community support that we need to give 343 pretty much off the start. I mean, at least for Brent and myself and a few others out there, we understand that it's their first game. It's kind of heartbreaking to see what they did with it. and to accept that the final product of Halo 4, but there is a possibility that they could turn it around, and it's just kind of holding on to that hope that they can pull off an experience that people will be happy with for Halo 5. So, let's get to the other submissions real quick, because we're starting to run long, yep. And we hit the tangents like I thought we might, but was hoping that we didn't. But
well, I mean, it is Halloween. I mean, it's going to naturally be a longer show.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be, but apparently it is. Why don't you go ahead and ring the next one from Mr. Tom.
Yes, Tom M. says, "Hey guys, I love the podcast and listen to it on my commute to work. I'm a huge fan of Halo, so I always enjoy hearing others talk about it or talking about it myself. I've been playing Halo since the first game, and I love the Halo universe. I love the Krypton podcast and was wondering when and if you'll be covering the other Forerunner or Kilo 5 novels. Also, I wanted to comment on this week's topic of the future of the Halo franchise. You guys mentioned in your show that you wanted some comments and opinions on the topics, so I have a few. First off, Halo 2 was definitely my favorite as far as competitive multiplayer is concerned, but I still love all the games. One thing I want to see in the future, or see again in future Halo games, is dual wielding. I'm not sure why it was tossed aside by Halo 4. I know that Reach and ODST didn't have it, but both Halo 2 and 3 did, and most would agree that those games had the best multiplayer. I feel it could be argued that ODST didn't need it because you weren't playing as a Spartan, but why not Halo 4? What are your opinions on dual wielding? Also, I think that one way 343 could satisfy some of the competitive players would be to introduce a classic game type like Bungie did for Reach with no armor abilities and some old and new maps. Thanks for bringing up these topics and providing an awesome podcast for Halo fans. Keep up the good work." Well, thank you, Tom. I enjoy dual wielding. I don't understand why it shouldn't be there. It doesn't make any sense as far as the Spartans have two hands. They can obviously hold two sidearms.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, to be fair, they're so strong, they should be able to hold two full machine guns. I mean, if you can flip a tank or do, you know, some of the superhuman stuff that they show the Spartans doing in the novels and
dual wielding rocket launchers.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason they shouldn't be able to, but I'm saying it especially doesn't make sense that I can't pick up like two needlers or two pistols or something like that. Like,
so this is actually,
except for gameplay.
Yeah. This is actually something I was talking to Ghostiami about when I went to the Halo Fan for Life land. And it was kind of one of those things where it's not something that has to be in Halo, but it's something that could still exist in Halo. It's not a game breaking mechanic. There's certain pros and cons to both sides of whether or not to have dual wielding in there. And one of the cons of it is that you, at least with how some of the control schemes have worked for the past Halo games, you lose a certain functionality. So in one case, you wouldn't be able to throw grenades. In one case, you wouldn't be able to melee without dropping a weapon first. And in some cases, the developer might not want that, to have that one instance of unbalanced behavior in the game. So it's really a design choice to the developer. And I think, I mean, I wouldn't mind whether or not dual wielding was or was not in there.
I don't care either. I mean, I didn't dual wield enough in Halo 2 to care. Dual wielding Maulers was fun in Halo 3.
Oh, gosh. Freaking Maulers.
But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it's not like people are just begging for dual wielding to come back. And definitely not having dual wielding in there fixes up some balance issues by not introducing those issues at all. So yeah, I mean,
The epic nuke combo from Halo 2 for the dual wielding was plasma rifle and SMG.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed using an SMG and a pistol at the same time. Always felt like a less cheap way to get off
the Magnum.
Yeah. You could you just spray into him with the SMG and then get the headshot.
And the Halo 2 pistol, you shot so freaking fast.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a weak pistol, but you could still shoot freaking fast and get headshots with it.
I hated that. That pistol was awful. I didn't like it.
Especially after the Halo 1 pistol, where you could do a 3-shot headshot and you were sure to get somebody.
Yeah. SWAT was a whole lot of fun in Halo 2. I don't think it'll ever be as fun in any other game as it was in Halo 2.
I don't think I've played much SWAT in Halo 2.
Yeah, it was fun times. It's good stuff.
Played in Halo 3, Reach, and 4, but Not much Lockout. In Halo 2.
Well, Lockout was made for, you know, every game type because it's, you know, probably the best map ever. But SWAT on Lockout was good times.
Yeah, people love Lockout. Although, I would argue Blood Gulch is probably one of the more classic big team maps, especially for CTF.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's fair to compare the 4v4 maps to the big team battle maps, because those are two completely different styles of gameplay.
Yeah, that's true. But let's get on to the last one and start to wrap this up. This last one comes from Pins Halo, who's actually in the chat right now, and he kind of wrote a novel. So we'll get through it as quickly as we can. He writes, "What I would like to see in Halo 5. From an overall perspective, I would like to have a story that, for lack of a better term, is tight. The story has to complete, the story has to be complete, and I do not want to have to go beyond the game to be able to understand the story fully. Halo 4 had a good story, but to really understand it, you had to have read the novels, and while I enjoy the Halo fiction, it should not be required to understand the game." And we've definitely talked about this on the podcast before, and we agree to that pretty much. "This, more than anything, is what made the Didact less than what he should have been as the main antagonist in the game. In addition, I hope that we do not see any more retcon or retroactive continuity, like the redesign of the Ford Unto Dawn, which makes the end of Halo 3 not possible, or a total redesign of Chief's armor and then presenting it like it has been that design since the beginning when we know it isn't. This also includes the redesign of the Covenant as well. Regarding the campaign, I really don't have too much to add, as I enjoyed most of it. However, the terminals need to be able to be viewed in-game. There's no reason that we should have to go outside of the game to view something that would help explain parts of that game. Also, while the QuickTime events might be appropriate for some things, they should not be included in a boss battle like it was with the Didact. I also would have loved to see Spartan Ops come back. It was a great way to keep me involved with the game and to have a valid storyline built off of the campaign. There are so many possibilities with this for games and other parts of the Halo universe. The one thing that I hope, though, is that they fix the problem with the matchmaking lag found in Spartan Ops, as that can make it almost impossible to play. The wish list for multiplayer matchmaking is huge, and there are things we are all aware of, but for the biggest things for me would be in-game ranks / CSR, and a social ranked playlist, and a social and ranked playlist. All of the infinity drops, custom loadouts, armor abilities, and traits can be used to their fullest in the social playlist, so when everyone wants to just play and have fun, they have a place to go. The ranked playlist would be what most people would not use loadouts and armor abilities would be pickups. I would also include one pro-style game type in each of the game selections where you would have the option for things like no sprint or D-scope. A few other items. Some type of game beta that has some type of public visibility and ability to leave feedback. I would leave sprint as part of the game. While I understand some of the arguments against it, I think that games have to evolve and add things if they want to stay fresh, and this is one of those things that should remain. I would have a DLC map playlist so people who spend the money on the downloadable content don't feel like their money was wasted purchasing maps that were only featured for a short time. Also, I would not make a DLC required for any of the base game types. Number 4, increased strength of grenades. Number 5, increased strength of vehicles. Number 6, return of theater mode across the entire game. For Forge, I would like to see the full Forge palette available no matter what game type you are building for a map for. I would also like to see the limits on the different items in the palette increased. Finally, Halo 5 needs a spectator mode. As we saw with the Global Championships, people got excited and drawn into the competitive Halo, and the game should have the most that can to have pro gamers want to play the game, and thus their fans also play the game. This may not impact the game itself, but it may help with its sustainability. My last thoughts regarding Halo 4 is that I think 343 Industries has done about everything it can at this point regarding the mechanics of the game. They might be able to adjust, tweak playlists for some peripheral stuff to keep interest in the game, but I would rather them focus mainly on getting Halo 5 right because they have to. If Halo 5 fails, then we all might as well pack our bags and head home because there will be no coming back. From everything that I've read and heard after the PAX and Global Championship, it sounds like 343 has learned from their mistakes and are committed to putting a game out to make the Halo community proud. All we can do is point and hope. All we can do at this point is hope. Thanks for everything, guys. Keep up the great work. Pins Halo. So you hit a lot of the bullet points I think that we've talked about here on the show over the past, month and a half, 2 months? Pretty much ever since the Global Championship came out. And there, I think most of the stuff I pretty much agree with. Beta, Sprint, DLC, Strength of Grenades, Strength of Vehicles in a certain matter, the Terminal, CSR. Most of the stuff I agree with in here. What do you think, Brent? I think most of it is pretty much spot on with what I've seen other people say as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would completely agree with having like full Forge palettes available across every game type, because you don't want an oddball spawn in a Slayer game type necessarily. But if you want to expand
on that... Speak
for
yourself. for me, the best way to get Halo back to the way it used to be is to find ways to slow the game down back to Halo 3 speed. You know, you go back, you play Halo 3 for a while, and you get that gameplay pace down, and you take that into Halo 5's development. To me, that would be the way to fix it. Because to slow the game down, you have to make some very big changes, you know, some very big differences from the way it was from Halo 4. I think you could decrease sprint speed a little bit. So I don't think you should ever remove sprint. I think it's in there to stay, but maybe make it to where you can't sprint as long, or you just don't sprint as fast. You know, bring back weapon spawns, static weapon spawns, that I know where they are.
So they're in the game.
Well, I mean, I don't want to see them on my HUD anymore. That also kind of bugs me. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but I don't like the idea.
So you don't. Not for the static weapon placements, you don't.
Okay. I thought that if they just showed up, I thought that the icon was always there, even if it was...
Just for ordnance. That is only for ordnance.
All right. So, I mean, I just hate those icons on my screen. Like, it's already cluttered up enough. I don't like seeing those. I like to have a very kind of natural HUD.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. For me, just slow it down. I mean, there's obviously going to be other stuff that they're going to do to it. We don't know what it is yet. They'll probably add some stuff that we don't know to complain about yet.
Well, and that's where beta would come in handy.
Yeah, but the thing is, we'll know about those changes way before the beta. But I mean, it'll be handy to. Here's the thing: if they do something, if they put something and change the gameplay significantly, I don't know what they would add. But if it changes significantly, and then people play it, play around with it in the beta, and they don't like it, what do they just completely cut it? I mean, what do you do at that point? I mean, some of the stuff that they add, they feel like they have to keep it in there because they dedicated so many resources to it, developing it. You know, I mean, if people just completely hate a new feature in Halo 5, and you know they play the beta, they know they hate it because they played around with it. I mean, a lot of the stuff in Halo 4, we complained about it before the game ever came out. People were complaining about armor mods. They were complaining about, you know, the lack of, you know, starting weapons that you know where they are exactly. They complained about ordnance just in general. But, you know, 343 could say, well, there's no beta, so you haven't played it to know that it's awful yet. You know, so you can't say with any certainty that you don't like it. But if you put out a beta and it turns out that people don't like whatever you added, do they cut it or do they keep it in and, you know, make people angry due to their belligerence? I mean, that's kind of the problem with a beta. They're almost afraid. I mean, if I were a developer and I put out a beta, I would be afraid that people would just completely hate this one aspect of the game that I couldn't possibly take out and have the game ship on time.
I think at this point, though, for Halo, the benefits outweigh the consequences.
Oh, yeah, the benefits would, but from a developer's standpoint, first of all, betas cost money. That's just a fact.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, look who's backing them, honestly.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Microsoft is stingy. They got a lot of money. They don't like spending it. I don't know. There definitely needs to be a beta, if only for my enjoyment. but I can imagine a beta is a very scary thing for a developer.
Yeah, I would imagine so, but I think at this point it's going to be more helpful to have people kind of get back into the swing of Halo than not having a beta.
Also, it needs to be available to the most number, like the greatest number of people,
yep,
if they want to get those old Halo fans back. Because, yep, if you swore off Halo from Halo 4, you're not going to go out and buy, you know, an advanced copy of Crackdown 3 to play the Halo 5 beta. I mean, chances are you're just not going to play in the beta at all. They need to make it very public, very accessible. If you want to be in the beta, you can get in the beta.
It'd be interesting if they made Titanfall the Halo 5 beta access. That'd be interesting.
Seems a little pointless, though, because
Titanfall is now exclusive on the Xbox One.
First of all, I mean, it's a competing game. It's an exclusive, but it's still a competing first-person shooter title. I mean, in the marketplace, people are going to have to make a conscious decision to either, you know, they're either going to buy Titanfall or they're going to buy Halo 5, but a lot of people don't got the cash to buy both at the same time.
Well, Halo 5 would be coming out after Titanfall.
Yeah, but, I mean, assuming Titanfall is the end-all...
It was just a hypothetical.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. To me, it would make more sense to attach it to a game that they don't think is going to sell well, because that's what they did. I mean, that's the reason they attached it to Crackdown. There wasn't a whole lot of interest in Crackdown. I mean...
So was Shadowrun.
I think it was both. I know for a fact Crackdown was one of the games they tied it to, because that's how I got into the Halo 3 beta.
Oh, okay. But so it must have been both.
Yeah, I think it ran concurrent. You could either get Shadowrun or Crackdown.
Okay.
But yeah, those were both games that they didn't think were going to sell very well. And so they tied the Halo 3 beta to those so that people would buy them. If you attach it to Titanfall, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of people saying, well, I wasn't going to buy Titanfall before, but, you know, this Halo stuff is a big deal.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It would make a lot more sense to attach it to some.
But with how the community views Halo right now, I mean, would people really go and buy a smaller title game to go play the Halo beta?
Yeah. More people. I mean, it costs nothing to attach a beta code to a copy of a game. I mean, the benefits far outweigh any cost that would have to, you know, be accounted for in that. I mean, it's literally just manufacturing codes and putting the code into the box that comes with the disc. That's it.
Well, yeah, so why not do that with Titanfall? Because you're probably bound to hit a wider audience.
Well, I'm saying if you're going to use that method to sell a game that isn't very popular, if you attach it to Titanfall, people are going to buy Titanfall instead of the other game, because why wouldn't you? I mean, Titanfall is a great title. Why wouldn't you just buy that and, you know, get your Halo 4 at the same time concurrent instead of, you know, whatever they attach it to, you know, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, you know, X-Bone. I have no, yeah. I don't think they're going to attach it to a game like that,
no,
first
they,
of all.
No, they probably wouldn't.
It's probably going to be like, here's a website.
Independent beta, like, I would think.
Just sign up at the Waypoint forums or something, and they'll send you a code when it comes around.
We'll see.
Or Halo 4 or Halo 5 pre-orders. That's another thing.
Hit the big communities, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, I guess you could pull what Destiny's doing and do the pre-order thing.
That tends to be a very popular beta thing nowadays that I'd completely forgot about. The pre-orders.
Yeah. Well, Destiny's doing that.
I don't like pre-ordering games. I mean, first of all, you really don't got to pre-order games anymore. There was a time when, you know, manufactured shortages would occur where they would only send out a certain number of copies of a popular game to somebody just to say, well, we're sold out, to make it look like it's really, really popular. But nowadays, you know, with major game releases, they don't do that. I mean, they put out enough copies to where if you want a copy on day one, you can find it somewhere. It's going to be at Walmart or GameStop or so, but they got plenty of copies. So, I mean, pre-ordering a game to make sure you get a copy on day one isn't really necessary anymore. It's necessary on stuff like, you know, a console pre-order. If you haven't pre-ordered an Xbox One yet, you probably won't get one on day one unless you start camping out now. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's real. I mean, I thought about it. Like, if I wanted to get an X-Bone, how soon would I have to start camping? Like, a week out?
Well,
would
I have to... I mean, I pre-ordered it, and a lot of people have pre-ordered it, so they're kind of expecting on their doorsteps the day release.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to be one of those people that just waits for it to come out midnight, then I guess you could do it that way, but I personally don't see any incentives to have an Xbox One straight away when I'm still going to be playing most of the games on the 360, because that's where most of the games I own are, and there's not backwards compatibility on the Xbox One.
But you can't say, well, I mean, yeah, never mind, you can. I take that back. I was going to say, you can't say Xbox on, and it'll turn on, but you can. Can you do that with the current Kinect?
No.
Turn it on with the Kinect?
No.
No, I guess that is a new thing. there's your reason to get an X-Bone day one, so you can turn it on with
your voice.
You know
what's also easier? Holding the guide button on my controller for a second, or hitting the power button on my Xbox.
Yeah, I saw that on the commercial, cringed.
Which is a lot faster.
It requires no vocal energy. You don't have to yell at your Xbox. You know, it's quicker. Yeah, I mean, the whole point of a game console is to press buttons on a controller and watch stuff happen on screen. If you're not willing to press the button to turn the console on, you don't need to be playing video games. I mean...
Yeah, I got into a whole Twitter discussion over the use of Kinect, or the usefulness of Kinect, earlier this week. But, digress. That's going to wrap it up for tonight, guys. So, thanks for listening to our rants yet again. I think this is going to be a recurring theme. Might try to crack down a little bit on how far deep do we get into some of these discussions, because I bet at this point sometimes we just sound like a broken record on repeat. So I'll try to kind of keep these a little bit under wraps in the future. But if we get into the tangents, guys, it's because we're passionate about Halo and we really care about the franchise. So just keep that in mind.
Well, I mean, we have new content too. I mean, it's not every week we talk about Halo themed pumpkins.
But if you look at how much we've talked about the next Halo game, it's been pretty much more than half of the show so far. So
yeah, but the problem with that is, I mean, and that's the thing, we're talking about the next Halo game even though we know absolutely nothing about it. We're talking about it just based on our experiences with Halo 4 and what we want out of Halo 5 in terms of just what we think get, you know, betas and stuff like that. But I mean, as soon as we get even little teeny bits of info on Halo 5, the conversations are going to be a lot more interesting.
Right. So, just bear with us, guys, until we got more info about Halo 5 and everything like that. And we'll keep reading the bulletins every week. We'll be here. And, yeah. So, next week, nothing special then as well. I think we're just going to do the bulletin. May have a special guest on. I'll have to reach out to a couple people that I have wanted to have on for a while and see if they're willing to hop on the show. So, we'll see if we can get that settled. So, again, thank you, everyone, for coming out, and especially for those that are reaching out to us on the Twitch channel and listening to us live. We do our podcast live every week on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find us over, of course, on Twitch, twitch.tv/podtacular, and you can find us over on all their social media. So we have a Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well. So definitely check us out there. Check out our website, podtacular.com. And if you have anything that you want to talk about or want us to talk about on the show, feel free to send us an email, submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green submit button on the homepage as well. Just like tonight, you can have your opinions about the next Halo game heard, just like we heard from the three submissions that we had. And we honestly want to hear what you guys think. We want to know what the community at large, especially our listeners, want to see in the next Halo game. So please send us anything and everything that you want us to talk about. We will talk about it on end. I mean, you've heard us talk about the future of Halo on end for the last month and a half, so it's not a topic that we're afraid to talk about. Definitely send it in to us, and we'll take anything and everything we can get. And of course, bringing back the question of the week, and that is, of course, if you could assign a subtitle to all of the Halo games thus far, all the numbered Halo games, what subtitle would you put to them? So that's going to be our question of the week, and you can email those to us, and we'll post it on Facebook and Twitter as well. That will wrap it up for the podcast tonight. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We will see you guys next week for our next show. And keep on fragging them trucks.
Keep on fragging pumpkins.
Pumpkins. Keep on smashing those pumpkins.